Welcome to This Commerce Life. We are an unscripted podcast dedicated to small businesses and entrepreneurs in the retail and consumer packaged goods space in Canada and the United States.
I am Phil Chang, co-host and co-founder.
And I'm Kenny Vannucci, co-host and co-founder of This Commerce Life.
Our love is the journey to retail, and our passion is sharing that with you every week.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning. Great to meet you, Phil.
Morning. Yeah, Scott. Nice to meet you too.
Let me get my video on here. Hang on.
My video.
Wakey, wakey, Kenny.
Oh my God. Like, seriously, I have my alarm set. Right? No problem. And then I shut it up because I'm thinking to myself, why is my alarm going like right now? That's a weird time. So I thought, you know, screw this. I'm going to just snooze for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then I hit this panic about 10 minutes ago. I thought, oh shit, I think I have a podcast.
So funny.
Oh my God.
It's so funny.
Kenny, thanks for getting up for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm generally up about 7 o'clock anyway, but this morning I thought, I'm just really tired. I don't want to move. And there was no reason to get up in my head. I'm thinking, I don't know why the hell I set the alarm, but just keep sleeping. Oh my gosh. So anyway, funny. I made it. Quick shower, quick cup of coffee, ready to go, baby.
I
love it. I'm glad we can do this. We kick this around a bunch of times, I think, from our end and then from your end as well. So it's nice.
Why do I feel like this has been months in the
I think Scott booked it, and then I think we moved you around, Scott, and then you were like, yeah, that's great, but no now. And then so we just, you know, it's just,
yeah, because Kenny, you and I met at the show, and then I think we got it scheduled, and then I ended up having a conflict last week, so it's good that we were able to reschedule. I appreciate that.
No, I'm glad it worked out.
No, we're glad.
No, I'm just happy it worked out too.
Yeah.
And I was telling Phil, I said, I can't remember where I can't remember where Scott came from. I know I saw him at the show, but I can't remember if it was a Jiren, a Rattan, or a LinkedIn thing.
So I think we got the intro over email from Jaren, and then you and I
That's
met in person at the show. And then we got talking. You asked if I wanted to come on the podcast. I got excited about the opportunity, and now I think here we are.
And here we are. It's fantastic.
Hey, you gotta like that one. That worked out okay.
Kenny, that's almost an intro. Do you want to finish it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I Scott's with Wake Water. Just another really cool, refreshing beverage in a space that seems to have gotten cluttered, but there's something about their product and the packaging that I really, really liked. And then having a chance to meet you, I thought, you know, I'm dying to have you on because one, I mean, I thought you're a really nice guy and you got a good recommendation from Jaren, but also because I'm always compelled to hear stories of how people take a look at spaces that are busy.
Mm-hmm.
And still manage to come up with really cool ideas or products that actually stick in these sets. I think it's fascinating. So, Scott, I'm glad you're on. The next 45 minutes to 50 minutes, an hour, whatever it is yours. Love to just hear, you know, where you came from, how the hell you ended up here, why you ended up here, and like, how's it going? And what, just give us the story, man. Just let's tell us what's going on.
I'll start with my story, maybe in like how I got into the entrepreneurial journey, and then maybe I'll backtrack and talk about like how Wake Water came to be, because while I'm one of the co-founders, I actually started after Wake Water, the product concept was invented, and then just came on as basically we launched into retail. And so background on me is like, I really cut my teeth and got my learning at P&G, which was for me like a great place to start my career, a great company. I loved working there. I learned a ton. I learned how to operate a incredibly successful CPG company. And so I was there on and off for about 6 years when P&G divested Duracell to Berkshire Hathaway. I was involved in that transaction before going back. And so in that 6 years, like I learned all of the structure that I needed to run a business in this space. But I found after that amount of time, I was kind of like going through the motions, and I was looking at the next 5, 10, 15 years of my life. And I saw what my boss is doing. I saw what my boss's boss was doing. And I wasn't excited about the idea of knowing exactly what I was going to be doing in every month of every year for the next 15, 20, 30 years. And so
that sounded so like so P&G.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, like great company, loved it. Some of my best friends still work there. My wife works there. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm still very much tied to that company, but it's just like what I wanted out of my life. Like I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always wanted to try something different. And I always wanted to spread my wings. And I thought I was going to be there my entire life. And then I'm 6 years in and I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's just not what I want anymore.
Yeah.
Is this right after university? Like, did you go, because P&G is a classic pulling out of university. Like they just, it's a classic CPG company. I mean, it's P&G.
Yeah.
Like I went, I drank the Kool-Aid. Like I got an internship after my third year of university, like completely fell in love.
Typical.
Got turned into a full-time offer. Met one of my best friends in the internship, lived with him my first year after. So it was like a P&G household. My That's wife awesome. Started at P&G a few years after we had graduated from university.
Yeah.
So like we've still got like Tide and Swiffer and all that. Like we're still loyal to the company. Like we really do love it. But kind of like I said, like long-term, it just, for me, I wanted to try something a little bit different.
For sure,
but
for sure.
I could not advocate for a better training ground, especially within the CPG space. And the team makes fun of me a little bit, like the further along in our company journey we get, I try to add in like a little bit of these processes that sometimes they like, sometimes they don't.
That's important though. Listen, that's a big successful company. Yeah. You don't want to necessarily bring all into your low entrepreneur world, but there's a reason it works.
When Kenny and I started working together, Kenny used to make fun of me all the time, right? Because I come from Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
And so, you know, like the minute I would introduce something, he'd go, is that corporate-y?
J&J.
Is that, sorry, J&J. Did you say something J&J-ish? J&J. Like, what happened there? Like, are you, like, are we this big corporate?
Oh, I'm wow.
Like,
I didn't realize we drank the Kool-Aid and it's actually like, in our blood now.
And he was like...
Absolutely. Like whatever, you live and you breathe it. But like, Phil, I'm sure maybe you probably had the same experience as I did. It's when you drink the Kool-Aid, it's a lot more fun working there. And then when you stop drinking the Kool-Aid, it gets a little bit less fun.
As soon as the Kool-Aid stops tasting like you thought, it's a funny company because then you do get people like you. I mean, I didn't come from your guy's size. I was with London Drugs for a million years, right? So I dealt with a lot of P&G people. And it's funny. I mean, it is. It's them and a few others, like really – people just like, it's almost cultish in a sense. It like, they just got right into P&G. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
And then, but once you stop drinking, you start seeing the boxes, right? And then, you know, like, I think
a lot of boxes.
Yeah. Like, I think the kicker for me was like, I was talking to my boss about, you know, career progression. He was like, oh, yeah, no. So if you keep doing what you're doing, we'll move you up a couple of spots. And, you know, like, maybe you'll make director before. And I was like, what? Like, I think I'll be dead by then. Like, what? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Why so many? Like, and then all of a sudden you start seeing the boxes and you start seeing like, it's almost like, oh, no.
Well, the boxes that you're in like, corporately and then the boxes that you're just moving, it's really, it's just lots of boxes.
Yeah.
And people don't work outside of the boxes, right?
No,
like,
any box.
Grow into another box, you need to get.
Yeah.
Joanne, who you've never met, on board to let you into that.
So then she lets you into the box that she's in.
Yeah,
she doesn't like you. You don't get into that box. You have to try to find out a different another Joanne way to get into a different box. Like it's a bizarre world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But P&G.
Wow.
While a lot of good things,
great training, great HR, like just listen, like the shit you can learn.
It's the world's best training grounds, right?
Invaluable.
Like, you come out and like you're equipped to look at almost every situation and kind of go, I know how to take this apart. Like I know what I got to do, or I know how to digest this in a way that I could actually solve for it. Right. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Sorry. Keep going. Please.
No. It's important. And like, if we're talking about my career journey, it's still the majority of my career is spent at that.
You're not going to let go of it. You're always going to have this part of structure in your head, which is probably going to be really, really good. As you continue on with your story,
I certainly hope so.
It will be.
We'll see how P&G learnings apply to a small company. Some do, some don't. And so, anyways, I'd kind of decided that it wasn't long term for me. Right. And so I always knew that I wanted to start my own company. And so in 18 with cannabis legalization coming online, I started looking at the space and looking at it. I'm not like a particular cannabis enthusiast, but I looked at it as like a multi-billion dollar CPG industry that is 100% proven that is springing up out of the ground, and there's going to be a gold rush in it, and maybe there's an opportunity to carve out a niche within that. And so I started looking at like different businesses within the space, three core ones being like producer, or the two core ones being producer and retailer. Applied for a couple Ontario retail licenses. I got 4,000th in Northern Ontario in the first lottery, so just missed it. And then when I really started looking at like what skill sets I had learned from P&G, it was like primarily on the sales and the distribution side.
Right.
And so when you looked at how all of the province has legislated the industry, it was primarily provincially owned and controlled wholesalers, distributors, with the exception of Saskatchewan. And so started looking at the Saskatchewan space. I have no connections to the province of Saskatchewan, but I like the way they'd regulated their market. And then when I started to research the space, talking to some retailers, talking to some producers, it looked like I could carve out a niche as a wholesaler within the province. And so started working on the legalization process, which was long and tedious. But in summer of 2019, we actually got the license. And then in September of that year, we got a producer to bite and bring us online as their exclusive distributor in the province. And so...
So you were an LP, like an actual...
So we were a licensed wholesaler.
Licensed
producer. Based out of Saskatoon. And everything at the time, and I'm sure certain still in the cannabis industry, was a little bit chaotic. And so I found out 8 days before we were going to receive product that like, okay, we're going and they're shipping and I need to be in the province to receive inventory. And so like, I live in Toronto. I got a house in Toronto. My wife is here. I got like a company car. I got nowhere to live in Saskatoon. And so I've got 8 days to like pack up my life, drive across the country. There was still like, I had to go a long way up over the lake because there was still stuff about like working in the cannabis industry and issues with the border and what that was going to look like. And so 8 days packed in my life, showed up in Saskatoon. Didn't have a place to live. Got in the warehouse, received the product, and then thankfully they've got a high vacancy rate and found an apartment that night. And then just started running my business the very next day, made my first sale on like the third day after we'd done it. And I was driving cannabis around in the back of my RAV4 to these license producers, a very fragmented market, and we had one producer. And so dead of winter, Saskatoon is cold.
Cold is cold.
Which I'm sure everyone knew.
It's a nice little city, but it's freaking cold.
It's freaking cold.
Great people, beautiful city. Yeah. I moved there in November, which was like...
Lovely time. Good for you.
Exactly.
Springtime almost.
Everything that I wanted. And so... honestly,
did you buy yourself there? The wife didn't go with you at this point.
My wife stayed in Toronto. She helped me move out there, and then
she was a smart one. Okay,
yeah, she helped you move out there, right? Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out where the brains of the family are. Okay, we found the brains. Okay,
not me.
Yeah, it's not you.
Okay, definitely with her.
Got it.
So she came back to Toronto, and I basically started driving cannabis across the entire province, like cold calling on retailers, trying to get them on the phone, not getting picked up, just showing up, like talking to managers, trying to talk to head offices, navigate the landscape.
And the dead of winter,
yeah. Jesus. And so like with no block heater, like every morning it'd be like minus 50, and I'm just
your car's not gonna...
my car started.
Yeah.
And thankfully it always did.
You know, half the people here don't know what a block heater is, right?
That's true. So like a block heater is something that you plug into your car in the really cold parts of Canada.
Keeps the oil warm, keeps the internal engine warm, so that the engine actually will start.
Exactly. And so like being from Ontario, I had no idea what this is. Like
Northern Ontario, you would know.
Yeah, Northern Ontario, I'm sure they know.
Yeah, I'm from the interior of the province of BC. We all have block heaters.
That makes sense. Not down in Toronto.
We don't do that. We don't do that.
Nobody in Vancouver knows what it is either. No clue.
Anyways, it ended up being a good business. Like we broke even quite quickly in our third month, had a lot of success. Yeah. When COVID hit though, things fell off a cliff. Like our revenue went down 75 points overnight. It ended up rebounding relatively quickly. But at that point, like we were we'd bootstrapped the company. It was such like a lean startup that we had looked at it, right? Okay, we don't know what the future holds. I wasn't pulling a salary at that point. And my business partner would no longer wanted to continue to do it. He was based out of Toronto. And so I kind of had a choice where I looked at it like, okay, like, do I want to continue to do this without the support of a business partner for the next 2 years? And maybe this doesn't go anywhere. My wife's back in Toronto. I'm like pretty lonely living out in Saskatoon. Or do I want to like had an opportunity to kind of pull the plug relatively pain-free, come back and then like take this as a good learning opportunity and try something.
Yeah.
Late in 2020, I decided to pull the plug. I had been doing it for like, I've been working on it for 2 years, but like it was my life for about a year, and really experience, learned a lot, loved parts of living in the province. The summer is delightful, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I miss my family, I miss my friends, and so moved back in 2020, kind of licked my wounds for a couple months before I figured out what I wanted to do, and then got back on the horse and knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like I knew that's how I wanted to spend the rest of my life. And so spent a bunch of time networking, getting to know a bunch of people, which kind of brings us to Wakewater. And so I was fortunate enough to meet the guys behind Iconic Brewing, who are the makers of Cottage Springs. Mm-hmm. And so I'd met with them, and they were actually hiring for a role at another cannabis company that they have. And so I interviewed for that role, and it was like an operations and finance lead. And I'm a sales guy. And so they asked me the question, like, do you want to work in operations and finance? I'm like, no, but I think it's kind of cool what you guys are doing. And so didn't end up being the right fit. But then
really, you didn't get the job, eh?
Yeah, well,
it's the cues, like
for an ops role, yeah. You say no. It's hard to blame.
That's the cues, right? It's like no. Well, how long would I have to do that job for? Before
like, if I take this job,
else?
Like, can I do something different later?
Yeah. So, like, you're gonna put me in this box. How do I get to this box? Yeah, like,
can I get out of this box? And you're thinking, buddy, you're applying for the box. Like, yeah. We're not trying to find you a position. The position's here. Do you want it or not?
Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting interview question. Maybe I won't do that one next time.
Yeah, honestly, on some of those ones, you may just want to kind of just think it out before you get there.
It's true. Nobody looks bad in an interview unless you're me and you're answering honestly.
I would do the same as you. That's why I laugh at you.
Ended up not working out. And then 3 weeks later, just got a random call from them saying like, hey, we've got this product, Wakewater. Would love to send you a can. And like, we're looking to start this into a completely new company. And we're looking to hire a CEO. And I'm like, this sounds awesome. Tell me more. And so they sent me the product. Like, just ironically, I was interviewing with Red Bull at the time. I wasn't particularly excited, but I hadn't pulled a salary in a year and a half. So I was like, okay, like I need a job.
Yeah.
When they sent it, I had already researched the space a ton. I was excited about the space. What I wasn't excited about was all of the negative health effects of what I was going to be selling to people.
Right.
So when they sent me Wakewater, like the second I saw what the value proposition, I was in. I'll take a step back here and kind of tell the story of Wakewater. And so Wakewater was founded in the offices of Iconic Brewing Company, which we talked about, Maker's Cottage Springs. They're a better for you alcohol company. And so what they found is working in the startup space, you work a lot of hours and you do a lot of events. And so they found they were having a coffee in the morning and then they do another coffee in the afternoon. When they got to their afternoon coffee, nobody was excited about it. Nobody feels good about some people do. Very few people feel good about that afternoon coffee. It makes you a little too jittery. It gives you a crash and makes you feel really dehydrated.
Yeah.
And then when they would go work like Rib Fest or Beer Fest or any of these events, like 12-hour days, you're talking to people the entire time. They're exhausting. And so they found they would be reaching for like a Red Bull or a Monster because it would get the job done.
Sugar.
But like at what cost? Like at the end of the day, you crash, you feel really bad about yourself. You know, you haven't made the right choice for you. And so they basically looked at it and they're like, we can do something better than this. Like, why is there nothing better on the market? And so the head of operations, the head of innovation, just like put their heads together and came up with what was the first iteration of Wake Water, which is essentially just a caffeinated sparkling water, and made it into kegs strictly for the use of the employees at the office. We're like, we need a better pick me up in the afternoon. And so all of the
this wasn't even something they were looking to commercial. It doesn't necessarily have to be commercially viable. It was to keep our staff awake.
Necessity.
Yeah. Originally, what was never supposed to be commercial level.
That's interesting. Okay.
So it was mixed into like 30 liter kegs at the office, and people would do it. And so employees really liked it. At the time, the office was at King & Bathurst on the third floor. People from the fourth floor started coming down. People from the second floor started coming up, and they looked at themselves like, holy crap, we may have something here. And so they took it with a concept can and in kegs to Grocery Innovation in 2019. And like, they were also selling Liberty Village Cider, another one of the brands there, but like just kind of had this as like an add-on. And the retailers who came in wanted to talk about Wake Water. And so like Longo's came by, Metro came by, and they're like, this is really cool. Do you have a UPC? Like, who's your distributor? Like all these questions. And they're like, this is a keg that we're literally mixing up in our office.
No.
Like this. and so at that point we're like, okay, like we've got a real product here. And we need to start commercializing it. And so, at the time, Iconic Brewing actually ended up merging with, Ace Hill, which is a local Toronto beer company, to create, Ace Beverage Group. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, Wake Water was spun out to be a standalone company. That's where I come into the story. And we're able to raise some money from some great all Canadian investors, Jaron, Kenny, who I know you know, kind of like leads our West Coast market in really all ways. But then we also got like some other great people like Harlow Entertainment, obviously the founders of Iconic Brewing Company. Dave Perkins is the CEO of Molson Coors. Like some real Eric Patel from Sports Suite as well. And so we surround ourselves with this incredible advisory board. The guys from Iconic, we were able to leverage like their manufacturing capabilities and expertise in product development. And then I came in with the CPG knowledge from my time at P&G and doing the cannabis space, where we know this is an incredibly competitive category that is dominated by really three big players, but we really believe in the value proposition of Wake Water, and we know that it's very scalable, and we've essentially put together the team that we know we can scale it fast and win within Canada, and then replicate that playbook within other markets.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
My daughter loves it. My daughter's like 16 and she buys all these crazy things, and Wake Water was one of them. She brought them home and she was like, this seems cool. And I'm like, what is it, right? Like, I've probably been drinking it. I had one before we went to the show, Kenny.
Yep.
When we were doing the podcast there, because I knew I was sick and I needed the oomph, but I couldn't taste coffee, I couldn't taste anything. Probably not the greatest testimonial for you, but
we're both coffee drinkers. We enjoy our coffee, so we're not the ones. But what I do like,
I don't
like the high sugar shit that's in the market. So I've never been a fan of the energies. I remember when it first came in, because I was still a buyer at London Drugs and stuff. I never liked the space because I thought the space was really. I don't think they were doing any service. You just put a shit ton of sugar or a shit ton of caffeine in a can with a lot of coloring and other crap. Like, seriously, the product's really not good for you. I really didn't like the whole concept. And I think when I first saw you guys, what I did like about it, it's clean.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, if you don't like caffeine and stuff, no issue. There's other things you can do, but at least it's a really clean delivery.
Yeah.
I like that. Like I personally like that.
I resonate with the afternoon drink.
That I get.
Cause I'm a coffee lover. I could have three or four coffees in the morning.
I could have 10 cups a day.
I hit 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I get a bit of acid burn cause it's just too much. Right. Or I got to mix it with a ton of milk. Right. Like, and I'm just not a happy guy about it. Right. Like, cause I need something else. Right. So I like it. I resonate with that. I like that.
I totally do too. It's the cleanliness. I don't like that. There's a ton of shit in it. It's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You guys both mentioned that you're coffee drinkers. I love coffee. I'm a coffee guy through and through.
Yeah.
Phil, to your point, like I have it in the morning. I enjoy the ritual. It's therapeutic. I think it is for a lot of people. If in the afternoon I want something a little bit more refreshing, I want it cold. I don't particularly like iced coffee, and I want it convenient. The can is a lot more convenient than another pot of coffee. And so, like, when we look at the space, Kenny, to your point, like, you need a chemistry degree to understand what's on the back of a lot of these energy drinks.
And once you have the degree, like, you really want to lose that degree.
Yeah.
Because it's like, really not a good read.
Even when you look at like some of the so-called better for you ones, like all of these ones that are zero calories, like you look at the sweeteners that you put in there and they're all just like sugar offsets. You get like a sucralose, or you get like an erythritol or like, sure, there's some natural sweeteners in there, but that's polarizing for a lot of shoppers.
I agree.
So for us, we really looked at it from a product standpoint. Like, what do we love? Like, I love bubbly. I love sparkly.
Yeah, I like sparkly water. Too.
Sparkly is good.
And so, like, our goal in every product that we launch is to taste better than the leading sparkling water in that flavor. And so, while I love bubbly and blackberry, the blackberry flavor is my favorite, I will take a Wake Water blackberry on taste alone from that any day. And obviously, I'm very biased, but I would be comfortable going into a blind taste test with Wake Water versus basically any sparkling water brand in any flavor, because like
I like the blackberry too.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I like that one. That's that.
I'm a grapefruit guy. I like the grapefruit.
That's the original and the best seller.
Yeah. But pineapple's really good too. Like, pineapple is very unusual, right? Like, I don't know how many pineapple flavor, but I like it. So grapefruit and pineapple are my two.
See, it's funny. It just leans. And the grapefruit I found was just kind of meh.
Interesting.
But I went to the blackberry. I thought, oh, see, I can do this one. Like, this one I like.
Yeah, like, it's this one I like. To hear what people's favorites are.
It's a preference, right? It doesn't mean anything. It's just there's a certain thing that hits. You think, oh, I like this one. Like, this feels good. Like, this tastes good. I could do this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the refreshing aspect is nice too. I like the cold. I like bubbles.
Yes.
I do. I'm the same. I like it.
The other thing that we do that it's quite a bit different than all the other ones is we source caffeine from green tea. And then we pair that with L-theanine, which is something we don't really commercialize a lot of the time.
Nobody would understand it.
We don't know what L-theanine is, but what it is essentially it's an amino acid that's found in tea. And when you pair it with caffeine, it creates a nootropic stack that really regulates the negative effects of caffeine. And so caffeine's a mild stimulant that, to quote one of our competitors, temporarily helps restore mental alertness or wakefulness. But it also gives you jitters and it leaves you with a crash. And so when you pair that with L-theanine, it gives you a much more focused, long-lasting energy. And so what you should find when you drink a Wake Water that's different is you're getting that energy that you need to get you from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. or from 3 to 6, whatever your work day is or whatever you're trying to get through. But you're not going to get the crash that's going to compromise the rest of your day.
It's a pleasant letdown. It just gradually pulls you down, which is what you which is what you're shooting for, right? As opposed up a crash.
Yeah, and it's really interesting learning for us too. Like while we're trying to scale this business as fast as we can, like we do it by running like a bunch of small experiments. And so when I took this job and like saw Wake Water the brand, I my original thought was we are going to convert existing energy drink users to a better for you option. We are going to clean up that space. We're going to give them something that is much healthier. And what we found is like, while we do convert a lot of energy drink users who are looking for like a better for you option, that's not our core consumer.
I couldn't see it.
And so like when you think of like the core consumer for a traditional energy drink, like a Red Bull or a Monster, it's an 18 to 24 year old male who's into MMA, extreme sports, and maybe dirt biking. Whereas when our core consumer, it's like fairly gender agnostic, skews a little bit older, and it's much more that working professional. And our entire design around the brand is kind of around one obscure idea of like, if you were to go into a meeting with your boss and bring like a Red Bull or a Monster into that meeting, I feel like most people would be mortified to go into that meeting. Like they'd be embarrassed. They wouldn't want to be seen to be associated with that brand. And so it needs to be professional and cool enough, but also inviting enough where you can like go into a meeting, be drinking awake water, and it be as socially acceptable as bringing a Starbucks coffee into that meeting. And so that's what our entire brand design is around. And we really strive to own that afternoon consumption occasion, because that's when we've found our consumers drink it the most.
I think it's a cool way to do it. If you go back to it, I mean, it depends what age plays a large part into it. If I go into a meeting with people and they bring in a Red Bull or a Monster, I'm sorry to say this to these people, I go right into a different judgy thing, right? I'm not a big fan of the products. I don't like the space. If you brought in a Pellegrino or a Perrier, I get what you're doing, because I enjoy the bubbles too, so I understand that. If you brought in a Wake, see, wouldn't it bother? It'd be actually more of a question. What is that?
Yeah, it'd be a curiosity.
It'd be more that than anything else, because it's not an offensive looking can.
Mm-hmm. That's a great looking can.
The product is very clean.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's so stupid, right? But it is different.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even the phenomenon you're talking about, like the what is that? Like, we see that play out throughout our business in so many ways. Like, I love e-commerce. Like, I highly advocate for any. Like, you need to be omnichannel in every way, but like e-commerce is essentially just like a research lab on your consumer. You learn so much about where they are, who they are, how they behave. And we've got just like a really simple, like, post-purchase survey every time somebody checks out. And it's like, where did you hear about Wake Water? And the most common answer is word of mouth. And it's stuff exactly like you're talking about, Kenny. It's like somebody brings it to a meeting, they see it, and someone's like, what is that? What are you drinking? And then like, it snowballs from there. And the further that you get into your journey with launching a new one, the more that network effect starts to come online. And so like we're now getting to like a pretty exciting part in the journey, where like we've grown to about 950 doors. We've got some great retail distribution partners. We've got a great broker. And like, the more people who hear about it, the more people start to talk about it. And the greater that network effect grows, and it's like measurable every single month, that like more and more people are talking about it. And obviously we've got seasonality within cold beverage, where the summer months are like we're winning, but even still in the colder months, like we continue to grow because people just talk about it and discover it in different ways.
How are you finding it though? And the way you started is seriously the way I see the category, because there is a lot of alternative beverages these days, right? Water was the thing of the thing 20 years ago. In the last 20 years, between kombuchas, between, like, I'm thinking all the cold stuff, all the new flavored of bubblies, whatever they are, just generic waters, then your energy drinks. You've got a lot of shit in a really tight space, because a lot of stuff is refrigerated. There's only X amount of lineage. And like, if you go into Whole Foods, Phil and I were laughing the last time this year, we go into Whole Foods, and literally there's, in a 12 foot or 16 foot refrigerated set, usually typically in the open sets, there might be single facings across 16 feet, which is insane.
Yeah, like, which is craziness.
Hundreds of SKUs within a tight space. Like, how are you finding that? Because you're trying to make noise in a really noisy place.
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And it kind of goes back to what I'd said about like running small experiments and like trying to test and learn and optimize. And so thankfully we're not the first functional beverage to launch. And so there's a lot of like learnings based. You can just like read books and see what like Zico did when they launched coconut water. It's a great book called The High Hanging Fruit. That was a great one. And there's another one called Ramping Your Brand that I advocate for. And our entire team has to read in like the first 2 weeks when they start. It's just like one of the things we do. And so I think the first part of it is finding like the right retail partner where you can get the execution that you know works. And so like, Kenny, to your point, Whole Foods, perfect partner for us. They've got a big open fridge. The consumer journey appeals to the treasure hunt and trying to discover new products, the next new things. And so having that space available that is cold, that is bright, and that has the right consumer, that's a gold mine for us. And so part of it is just getting the distribution in those accounts. And so we'll use Whole Foods as a great example, because they're one of our best partners and some of our best velocity in the space. And so or in our retail network. And so when we look at Whole Foods, we're like, okay, like now what are the things that really drive our business within it? And because we're such a new brand with that awareness, a lot of the time relationship is going to trump sales. And so we've invested in having a sales team on the road to make sure that we're building the relationships, not only with the buyers at Whole Foods, but also like the store staff and making sure like whenever we go, we buy like six samples and we give them the staff so that they try it. Maybe they start to tell their friends about it and they tell shoppers about it. So that helps. Second part is just like, if you have that relationship, you can get a few extra facings in that fridge. And so like, while there's 16 feet and some brands have four facings, maybe you get six. Right. And that continues to grow and it creates a brand block that like gives a little bit more stopping power to the consumers. And then the final thing that we do, which really just comes down to like, trying to out hustle your competitors is we do a ton of demos. And so like every Saturday and Sunday, and so a lot of time weekdays too, from April until the end of September, our entire team is doing demos. And it's a very manual way of doing it, but you can see the results. And right. So like when we look at Whole Foods, we launched at Whole Foods in May, we have done 40 demos. In just the Eastern stores. Our velocity since we've launched, like the first 6 weeks that we launched versus our rolling velocity on the last 4 months, we're up like 350%, because you acquire that customer and then they continue to come back and then they tell somebody else and then the network effect continues to grow. And so it's really about defining what your playbook is that's going to drive the results in store to stand out, and then scaling that playbook. And so for us, what we know works is fridge, demos, and then you supplement with multi-buy promo. Right. Like that, it's not, I'm not writing any books on here. Red Bull already wrote that book.
But I'll tell you the truth. It's not easy. I'll tell you, demos, I've been in spinnaces a long time, and so has Phil, and you're getting to be long yourself now because you've been talking long,
he just called you old and not old.
I'm getting there.
You know, Phil, really, I didn't call him old. He's the youngest one on this call.
No, mile, you called country him old, mile. Not old, that's all. I'm just saying, you know.
Demos, medium old.
Demos are typically really and truly are not necessarily the most effective way to do things. They're really expensive. They're time. They take a lot of time. You never know who's going to be in the store. You never know who cares about being in the store. So it's still like, I find it amazing that, like, in all honesty, like, you know, Costco demos, like Costco is the king of demos. We all know that.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't kid yourself. Most of those people there are just for lunch.
For sure.
Half those people, if you look, they just go to each one every day and that's all they do. That's how they eat.
Yeah.
It's not done. You know what I mean? You're not getting necessarily the sales. You're not getting necessarily anything out of it.
Yeah. And so a part of it is also just like a response to the environment we launched in, right? So
right.
We launched, like, I mean, we're a beverage. So like we focus on driving liquid to lips. Like people need to be aware of it. They need to try
it. They have to try it.
Like that's like the consumer journey. And with COVID, we couldn't sample at all. When we look at these events and kind of at like the stage of the business we are, like we did some events and what we found is we're selling one can at a time. Like there's not, maybe if there's one person who in the world who exists that says, you know what, I need to put a can of Wake water from a dry shelf on my shopping list when I'm doing my weekly grocery shop, I'd love to meet them. But it's not how the consumer shops this category. It's all done on impulse. And so until you've got that like massive distribution built out, primarily in convenience stores, that's where the majority of the distribution is, you are limited in when you can speak to the consumer and have them discover the product at the same time. And so like, we don't get me wrong, we do events as well. Like we go to like a bunch of races and like
again, very expensive
and stuff like that. But where we get the best results is actually sampling in store, because you can talk to them, educate them, and convert them at the same time.
Straight up conversion.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's a hard gig. I don't think people realize that it's a tough gig. Demoing is
a grind.
It's a grind.
Yeah, and like
it's really tough too, because like I've been sitting here listening because like my brain's going all over the place with this one, because there's some need groups that but they're like, they're just really hard to reach, right? Like you think, you know, like Kenny and I are both parents. So you think afternoon in an arena, a sporting event, like you're at your kid's third round robin tournament game. Like I had three coffees this morning.
I might be coffeeed out now.
A ginger ale in the afternoon. Enough. Like I've just, and I'm drinking water now, but like, I just, yay, he scored another goal, but I'm tired. Like I don't want, I still gotta like feed the kids. Like those moments to me are wake water moments.
Yeah.
Right. And then like, gosh, like every office after 2 PM is like, how do you
see, to
get
me, that's where it is. That's where it should be. It's
but
almost,
how do you that, get like, but the, those guys that supply the coffees and the creamers, how do you get those guys going, guys, like this is the thing, you like coffee is for the morning. Like you'll say you can do that all day and you won't, but this is like an incremental purchase for those guys to go, you got to buy this. You got to stock this. Like every office is just going to lose their mind as soon as they get this in their hands. Right. Like, but those are not easy. Right. Like to your point is all of those are great places, but they're niche. They're like, you got to knock them down one by one. Like no hockey association lets you walk in. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh my God. Right. Like it's
Phil, what you're talking about in like that occasion, right? Like the 2 PM slum for office workers. When we learned that was our main occasion, that was a game changing moment for our business, and kind of back to like our first year was all COVID, nobody was doing that, and so we're trying to target those people at home to get that, which is basically impossible. But even now when you look at the space, like there's a lot of companies out there that have like great food and beverage programs for their offices, and we look at that as like part of our marketing spend but also part of our revenue in order to drive that liquid delivery, because the end user isn't paying for it, like the companies are paying for it. Like getting to the decision maker in the company is a very manual process, and so
for sure
we're fortunate enough that we've got a couple distributors in the space that do like really good volume, and we get like really good feedback, but we also have offices that we are just delivering directly to, and where we got a relationship with somebody who put us in touch with an office manager. It's like, this is cool. I want to bring. And so I'll give you an example. There's a company in Toronto called Fengate Asset Management. They're a real estate investment company. Okay. And they've got two offices, and we dropped off some samples, and they loved it. And so they started bringing it in. And so now every 3 weeks, I load up 20 cases in the back of the same RAV4 I was delivering cannabis in a year and a half ago, or 2.5 years ago at this point. And then I go down to TD Tower. I've got a little dolly, and I truck the cases in and bring it up. And I stock their fridge. And then 3 weeks goes by. And
that's the best sale. Like there's nobody in the middle. Sale.
There's nobody.
The margin is all yours, right? Save your gas money and your dolly, which you've now paid for. Yeah.
They'll tell you, hey, I don't like that flavor. Hey, this flavor. Oh my God. When do you have something new coming out? Like they're kind of your.
And then they're, it's such a great research lab as well. And Kenny, to your point, like they love it. Like it's like you can really put a face to the name.
Absolutely.
Like the brand, well, we're still in our early journey. We don't have the awareness. And so relationship is going to trump brand at that point. And so like their office manager, her name is Laurel. She's like my best friend. And like I go there, we chat for 20 minutes and she lets me face up the fridge. And it really helps.
I think it's
like,
awesome.
Drive that consumption in that like early days, like that is what you're trying to do. But like back to your original point, like it's a grind. Like I go to the courier unloading area, and I'm fending off parking tickets on Wellington in Toronto while I'm lugging these up the stairs. But it's also really fun too, right? Like like kind of back to my
right back to the source, right? Like these are the folks that drink it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even back to like other careers, when you think about it, like when I was at P&G, I would sell hair care to Loblaw. And if I would make a sale, and if supply couldn't meet that sale, I'd be the grumpy sales guy going in there and be like, what do you mean you can't meet that sale? I'm selling this, like stuff, product just arrived.
Right.
And like kind of back to like being in the boxes, whereas like Now, if I make that sale, not only do I know how it gets there, I'm delivering it myself. Right. And then a lot of times, well, steering it up.
The other one is really just, it's highly transactional.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where retail really sort of started to fall apart. And when online started really picking up, because online could do a bunch of things. Online had video, online had, like, it made it more experiential, right? And I know we overused that over the years, but I come from the time, and so does Phil, before that became popular. But it was, otherwise it's highly transactional. There's really not much in the middle. When you start going to the offices, and you'll be able to only do this for a little while longer, but you'll keep a couple pet ones because they're just the people you love. And I mean, you'd be stupid to let it go because it's great market research.
Yeah.
But that is not a trend. It's a transaction, but it's not transactional anymore. Mm-hmm. It is really about a relationship. It's about getting to know the person. Your P&G days, to your point, you cut a PO for a hair care, it just ships.
Yeah.
It gets to a store. Yeah. And you really don't give a shit how it got there or why it got there. You just get more pissed off when it doesn't get there.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit how, why did it get there? I just want to get there.
You actually don't get pissed off it doesn't get there. You get pissed off because you get yelled at.
Well, someone's going to take a strip.
The shipment was moved out to the next quarter, and now I miss my quarterly target.
Yeah, well, and the buyer might be in the same boat thinking, listen, I need the hair care. I don't give a shit what you guys are. The problem is find it from somebody.
Exactly.
Steal it from Sobeys. Steal it from Metro. Just get me my damn product. Yeah. I don't care where it comes from.
Yeah.
Right. But so to me, that's not a fun world because we all came from corporate. Mm-hmm. It's much more fun when you go in and you talk to Laurel. Do you know what? Now you have a chit chat. How are the kids? How's the family? How's school? Anything going on? Oh my God. Yeah. These people really love the new flavor. Like, I don't, that kind of thing. Like, you can't get that in large transactions. I mean,
you can't.
It's just
Even getting back to your original point a while ago of like, different people like different flavors. I've got one of I love pineapple, but it's our worst seller of the flavors.
Typically is with most, but just so you know, pineapple tropical typically falls to the,
because I'm the only idiot who buys it, I think.
Yeah. But probably we've got another office customer who they'll put an order in, like if it's 20 cases, 10 of them are pineapple.
That's just ridiculous, right? I mean, okay.
Every single time they just got like, we've got two guys in the office who are like, I love pineapple. I exclusively drink pineapple.
Okay.
And they're drinking two of them a day.
Okay. Thank you. So,
that's very funny.
Like I would have never known that if we weren't like out doing it. And so, the office space is super interesting. It's something that we will be on the top of our list for 2023. It is on the top of our list for 2023. It's just figuring out that space.
It's high margin too, bud. It's different.
Yeah, I love doing it. It's also like a much like, I'm a CPG guy. Traditional retail is what I know, and I know enough to be dangerous in e-commerce. I know nothing about the food service space, and our team doesn't either. And so we're working to try and learn it. Our understanding is that it's very similar to our space. We're controlled by a couple of big players.
Yes.
We need to get in with them in order to make it happen in a big way. But until then, like, we're just going to continue to keep proving it out by like, out hustling people in the offices that aren't taken by the big players.
And there's, you know what? There's tons of them.
Yeah.
If anything, that space is probably the least offensive to be in.
Yeah.
Right? Food service is a little tough, right? Because again, you can still do it. You can call on X amount of bars.
Yeah.
You can look at X amount of retailers. You don't need GFS. You don't need the other guys, but quite frankly, you kind of need GFS and the other guys. But you could do it
eventually, right?
It's tough because they have reach, they have the distribution. It's tough, right?
Yeah,
you don't need them, but you kind of need them.
Yeah,
but if you start calling on offices and stuff, and you can eliminate, because what it does, to Phil's point, you don't sell to wholesale to an office, you sell at retail.
Yeah,
I mean, because you don't need to, because it's not a wholesaler, it's not a store, it's they're not making money on it. They pay $2.99, it leaves the building free anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to give them a little bit of a break, you can, but your margins are good. And I still think the market research, to your point, is really, really valuable because you can talk to 10 different offices. Now you're talking potentially 400 consumers. Where the hell are you going to get that?
Yeah. Back to the market research part and even how e-commerce ties into it. The way that we learned about offices even ordering in the first place is we had one guy who's a subscriber who kind of came on and was ordering a case every 2 weeks. And we're like, oh, okay, you're like great subscriber. He's the best. Yeah. And then it turned into 2 cases every 2 weeks.
Wow, this guy's drinking a lot of weight. What's going on here? Like,
and then he emailed us. He's like, guys, I'm drinking too much. Like, you got to be able to give me some sort of price break. And then turns out he's ordering for a law firm. There's four of them, which, I mean, they're still drinking. That's a lot still. And so, like, but they're our first, like, what is now part of our corporate program that Absolutely. We're delivering ourselves, because they're bringing in 20 cases at a time. And
easy peasy
for them to drink. And they no longer drink coffee in the afternoon. Yeah.
They probably pay better than a retailer.
Yeah.
They're faster. They're usually credit card on the spot, unless you want to give them a little bit of terms. You can definitely go out at a better margin. Mm-hmm. And to your point, you can stop and talk to people. Well, we really didn't like this flavor. Okay. Why? Blah, 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 blah. Or whatever. Again, get somebody, you can do anything because there's other people who might like it. But you get some feedback immediately.
That's cool.
It's fantastic.
That's very cool.
Law firms and accounting offices. Shit.
Yeah, we'll like toss in like something neat for them every once in a while too. Like, if we're nice thing about us is like we got innovation in house, and so like if we
new flavor
like a peach or like a papaya or like I don't know, you name it, like a blue raspberry, like we can name it, we can drop it off, and we can get that live consumer feedback,
right?
Because we're the ones doing that.
And who doesn't love the fact? So this is not in the market yet. No, it's. Oh, so I'm like the try-out guy. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, and it's cool, right? Like people, I one thing I would say I underestimated before taking this job is just like how much people want to help. They're like, they see a young company, they see it's Canadian owned, Canadian operated, and they're like, like, I want to help. Like, how can I help? And so like all of my friends, and granted they're my friends, but like they advocate for Wake Water in their offices. Like they're drinking it and they're telling their colleagues to order it. And so like you, and post-purchase survey, you can fill out and be like, oh, I bought this because so-and-so told me to buy. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, awesome. That's somebody from that I went to school with. And it's a really, really cool and rewarding consumer journey. Like
that's awesome, buddy. Good for you.
The job's a lot more fun than my Pantene days, but Pantene, great product still.
Great product, but you're not as interested about worrying how many faces you had versus Unilever and Dove at that moment. Like it's
a little bit less worried these days about that. I gotta admit, every time I go to the store, I still walk down the aisle. I used to sell batteries as well. I go to Canadian Tire. I'm like, okay, what's Duracell doing now?
You still do? We do still face French English out, and
I do still face. Don't face out hair care. At least
no, you'd be there forever. Hair care.
I know. Well, oh, yeah.
Plus, you're like, knocking everything down. It's such a pain in the ass category.
Or I'll like go and I'll face up beverages, but like even like brands that we're friends with, I'll face them up too.
Yeah. We all do.
No, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Good for you, man.
No, this is so good. We're glad you came on. This is really interesting. And now I can tell my daughter we had you guys on, and she'll be thrilled. She's 16. She's not going to listen to the podcast ever, but she'll be like, you bet those guys, that's so cool. So
geez, dad, you're almost
cool for me.
I will for sure. If people want to find you, where do they find you? Like, what's the best place to find you?
Yeah, so we're in Loblaws. You can find us in the natural value section. You can find us in Whole Foods. We have an e-commerce store that ships cases all across the country. Okay. And then we will be launching in Metro and Farm Boy in the coming weeks. And
oh,
so
wow. Okay,
when so this comes out, you can probably find us there as well.
Awesome. And if anybody wanted to find you personally, if they wanted to talk to you or get some...
Yeah, for sure. So we're a small company. And so if you even go to like the website and just go to fill out the info form, it goes to me. Or you can add me on LinkedIn. Also, I should mention we're in Save On Foods.
So you got distribution across the country.
You got distribution.
Yeah, we do.
Awesome.
That's a big value of our raid. We brought on strategics in both Ontario and BC. Like, those are the two home markets for us. And that's where we put all our resources.
Which makes sense too. I mean, it'll work on the West Coast. Huh? Well, you know, it works on the West Coast.
Yeah. Honestly, Save On Foods is one of the best retailers for execution as well. Like they do an incredible job with it.
That's awesome.
Scott, thanks for coming on. This is fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Okay, all my friend, take care of yourself. Phil, hang on.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott, we'll chat with you later.
Right. Take care.
Thanks, man.
He's cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool brand, right? It's actually, you know what? Because you know me, I'm not, some of these spaces, I'm not, I mean, I love product and I love CPG, but I don't have to partake in it or necessarily even enjoy a lot of them. But I do like this one because I do find it refreshing, and I do like the fact there's not a lot of shit in it. I mean, that was
I didn't buy it. So the first time we brought it home, I didn't. I kind of looked at it and went,
"Yeah, so whatever, right?" I mean, it's just another
Why'd you buy that for, right? Like, and then. But the packaging was interesting, and then, I tasted, and then it was super like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
like,
I did the same. So, to the point where, you know, I've gone in and thought, that'll feel like a water.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. I like, because I do, I like the bubbly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a fan of the high sugar bubblies.
But this one, like, so, I mean, because, you know, because we get a lot of brand and retailers. Like, this is a product that you, I think I would put in, like the next time I come out to CHFA or something like that, this might be like, you know, because everyone goes to the show and you bring Purell and you bring mints, right? Like, and Kleenex, right? Like the three things you kind of bring to every show. Like, I think you add a weight water to that, right? Like, I'm not actually trying to push it as a product. I'm just saying, I actually think this is a really cool feature, right? Because come the afternoon, this is the one you need.
At the last show, the one you missed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. By mid afternoon, it was, and literally it was either another coffee, which took, I can have it too. Like I can get a little bit of the burn after, you know, the fourth or fifth cup, like, especially in the afternoon. And then I just didn't feel like it. I felt weighted down. Like I did. That's what I did. I just went to their booth. So I won't bring it in. I forget. I'm going with freebie. I go right to the booth and grab a, you know, grab a can. And I do like the black. I'm not, the grapefruit to me was meh.
Yeah.
But when you hit that one, I thought, wow, this is like, I really like this.
I don't mean like,
I really like this.
Well, I mean, for Scott's sake, for Scott's sake, I would say bring it with you. But for our sake, make sure you go to the booth and stop by Scott's.
Just stop by and see the booth. If you're at a show where you can't get it, bring it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're at a show, don't be silly. They bought samples. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Just tell them Phil sent you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everybody.